All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is a good day. Well, why is it a good day, Dr. Hope? Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it. That's why it's a good day. And did you not know every time that we get up in the morning, there's new mercies every morning? And so we ought to be thankful on today. We're excited for another great fresh start episode. We are excited. Get up this morning. I know it's early on Saturday morning, but if you're listening to my voice, it's time to get up because it's the Fresh Start Show with Dr. Hope. You hear me say all the time, get your Wheaties, get your Frosted Flakes, your cereal, your oatmeal, whatever you like. Get up. Let's have some fun. Let's be encouraged. Let's be inspired. You know what our show is about. Our show is about talking about reform in the justice system, reform in the prison system, and also talking about the struggles of our brothers and sisters who have been incarcerated. Fresh Start is a restorative justice nonprofit organization, and our focus is helping everybody who have had some contact in the justice system, the county jails, or the federal or state penitentiary to get a fresh start. We are assigned, we believe, by God to help individuals get their life back. We know in this country that if you get a felony, it's almost like having a life sentence, even if you only did 2 years in prison. If it's a felony, that carry around with you for all of your life, and that's not fair. And it's time that we shift the narrative from being super tough on crime to being smart on crime, shifting the narrative of real public safety. Real public safety is not putting handcuffs on as many people as possible. Public safety is not about incarcerating as many people as possible. Public safety is not arresting and incarcerating young kids that made bad choices and locking them up in the juvenile detention center. That's not real public safety. Well, let me tell you what real public safety is when you allow people to navigate back with their families and with their communities and giving them the skill sets and the resources that they need to never, ever have a criminal mindset ever again. Is that possible? Heck yeah, it's possible. We're seeing people do this all the time, and we're seeing Fresh Start be a model, be a vehicle to facilitate that opportunity to people who need it the most. So good morning. Good morning. We want to wish everybody a good morning, a great day today. I'm happy to meet with you. We thank you for supporting the Fresh Start show and podcast every Saturday. Thank you for the letters. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for contacting us and letting us know this show is impactful, it is inspiring, and it's making a difference. And if you really believe that and you are a business owner, you are a president or a director of an organization, and you want to get your mission out to the community, we got good news. Fresh Start is now taking on more sponsorships. And if you want to become a sponsor, feel free to reach out to me at my email, Damond, D-A-M-O-N-D, at freshstartint.com, or you can give me a call at area code 520-595-8885, and let's talk about your mission for your organization, or if you are a business owner, a restaurant owner, or a barbershop, or whatever that look like. You want to get the word out on one of the hottest shows on Saturday morning on 106, which is the Fresh Start Show. We'll give you a blast out. We will give you a commercial. We'll give you a blurb of your products. Let's get the word out. We're looking for sponsorships, and we would love for you to join us and help sponsor our show, and we can give you a shout out or commercial on your product and your mission. So feel free to reach out. So we're excited on today. Amen. I have my good friend, my homeboy, Tom Cortese is with me, my co-host. He's going to be the new co-host of the Fresh Start Show. So look forward to hearing his voice, or even also in my absence, because you guys know I'm a traveling doctor, an expert, so I may be in the air. But no worries. We got Tom that's going to lock down the ship and everything is going to be all right. Good morning, Tom. What's going on, my brother?
Amen. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for joining us. Talking about the restorative justice, it's like our justice system automatically, they separate the victim from the assailant and they make them deal with a whole nother system with each other, and they never bring them back together until there's a trial or not a trial. The transformative justice model wants you to find out why somebody did what they did, and the justice system today really doesn't care. There's a motive for murder, but there's no motive for anything else. It's mm-hmm. not necessary for us to know, you know, did this guy just do a burglary because he's trying to feed his family and he has mentally ill, he has this physical you know, there's so many things that would, you know, inform a decision, like with you training judiciary for empathy-informed sentencing. I mean, the system itself took empathy out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we put it back in?
Yeah. Yeah, because as you know, it's about being tough on crime. It's about being punitive. It's about the way we make our streets safe is we just arrest and incarcerate everyone. And we don't really look deep into, are we correcting? What do we call our state penitentiary? Department of what?
Corrections.
What are we correcting, right? Is it really Department of Corrections, or have it been the last 100 years, the Department of Punishment? And we have done well to just punish people. Even not just Department of Corrections. What do they call the prison guards?
Correction officers.
What is their... what is the officers correcting, right? Because we've heard many atrocious stories about how abusive they are, how disrespectful they can be, how they treat many inmates like animals, just degrade them, and just take away their dignity. You know, so what kind of behavior do you expect in prison when you treat them like animals? You're going to get animal behavior. So again, when we say that prisons is a place of correction, then what are you correcting? And if you are correcting, why are so many inmates coming out of prison with no life skills, showing signs of mental illness, having psychiatric and sometimes psychotic disorders, paranoia, schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, even after years of being released? Many of them still have those things. So it is at a point that we have to start talking about, what does prison do to the brain? And so today that really opens up the door for our topic on today. We're going to be talking about trauma. Trauma is something else. Trauma is one of the big leading causes of health and wellness in our country. And I don't think that we really tie in to how when trauma impacts the brain, it impacts the whole person, it impacts the whole body. And if it impacts the whole person, it impacts the whole life. And if we tie that into the judicial system and the justice system, many of the people who are sitting in prison, and I'm sure you can speak into this, have had their share of childhood traumas that they never address. And not just early childhood traumas, historical trauma, generational trauma. Some people that are listening into this episode today, you are dealing with the traumas of your great-grandfather that never dealt with his trauma. Some of my ladies, some of the women who are good women are dealing with traumas from their grandmother that they had nothing to do with, but because grandmama and granddaddy didn't address their trauma and heal from their trauma, it permeated into the next generation and the third generation. And so now we have this vicious cycle of traumas circulating in our families. And we know, and I know as a traumatologist, because this is my lane, this is my bread and butter, as a trauma specialist and a traumatologist, is that we know for a fact through the science, trauma impacts behavior. And a lot of times people say, well, why did they do this? And how could it have gotten so bad? And how did they get on the wrong path? It's because the root word of trauma is injury. And injury, and it don't take an MD or a PhD to know that what happens when you have an injury and you don't treat it? It exacerbated to what? Infections, right? Infections have symptoms. And one of those symptoms and infections is behavior. So really, when we start talking about this conversation of a restorative justice and a transformative justice model, it's really peeling the layers of the onion of a lot of root causes, how people have gotten to these bad behaviors and bad choices in the first place. So I'm speaking from a scientific, clinical perspective as a doctor. So, Tom, you lay it on us from a practical lens.
Wow. I would venture to say there's nobody in prison that hasn't suffered some trauma prior to prison.
Yeah.
But I would also, you know, this is such a topic that we could take all day, but
yeah,
the trauma bonding issue with prison and the county jail, because it's trauma going there, but you begin to bond with the system that is keeping you down.
Yeah.
And then you start to bond with the people, the guards that are keeping you down.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you become friends or anything, but there's
right,
a bond
right.
there because your livelihood depends on them. Your meals, your, you know, everything. Three hots in a cot, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you start to bond with the people that are inflicting the injury on you, and you get to a point where you start to need it.
Yeah.
Because a brain that has suffered compound traumas almost has to have trauma in order to function at its level.
Yeah.
Without that, where do you go?
So, in your experience, because I speak from more of an academia perspective, far as looking at research and the science of what trauma does to the brain, and I do have a research and training on it called the Traumatization of Incarceration. That actually is probably going to be a future book in a year or so.
Amen.
But you have actually have lived experience. You actually, and that's what I like about our relationship when we talk about these issues, because I can come from an academia type of viewpoint and talk about the science and the research part of what we see in brain scans, but you come from that experience of actually being in there. So let's talk about the causation of trauma in prison. What is causing, because there's something, and you make a great point. I've already got early childhood trauma because maybe my dad wasn't in my life, never had a dad in my life, or I got abused by a certain caregiver or family member. Mm. I think a lot of time we think about molestation and sexual assaults, that's always stranger danger, and we come to realize a lot of times it's people that we know, people that we trust, to be in certain private spaces and these things happens to us. Or it can be you've been rejected by your parents and now you in foster care, and you've probably been in 5, 6, 10 different foster cares and just thrown away, and that's a level of trauma. Or exposure to violence in the hood, seeing your homie gets shot or seeing someone blow their head off or whatever. That violence, that's traumatic experience. And that all is what a lot of people go through, especially in poor communities, communities of color. We know what it looks like, right? But talking to, there's something what we call secondary trauma, which is I already got my trauma from my life, my personal experience, but now I'm incarcerated. Can you be re-traumatized in prison after already being traumatized in your community or your family?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a number of different ways that occurs. I mean, if you go into prison with a victim mentality, you're going to become a victim in prison, and then you are going to suffer 1,000 deaths every day.
Right.
You know, because the people who submit suffer. You know, can I stand up and fight? I mean, the trauma is, okay, you have taken my control of my next action away from me, and you have made limitations on where I can go, how far I can go.
Yeah.
And you tend to make that your mindset too. How far can my mind go? There's a fence that stops my mind. Can my dreams go past this when my life is in this?
Yeah.
And that in itself is a trauma. Where do I go from here? If my sentence is 25 years and I go and I go to school and I do all the programmings and in 7 years, I am so much a better person, but I have 18 years left.
Wow.
Before somebody even considers that I can be back in society. And we don't take into account, why did this happen to begin with?
Right, right.
You know, but let's continue and let's compound it, because we're going to put you with a lot of people like you, and we're going to treat you really badly, and we're going to make every day a suffering that you have to find a mediation in the suffering to find existence.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. So we know the struggle is real. Talk a little bit into some of the things more in detail that creates trauma. For example, sexual assault is real.
Oh, it's real. Yeah,
sexual assault is real. I can't tell you from a trauma specialist how people who have been in prison, have been sexually assaulted, the level of trauma, the impact it has on your masculinity, all these different things, is real. Gang affiliation, you know, like whose side you're going to be on when you come into prison. You got to make a choice, and hopefully you make the right one, or it can be a matter of life and death. What about the trauma of just want to go out for recreation and work out, but you got to look behind your back and get shanked? You just don't know. So talk a little bit into what is that like far as traumatization of being incarcerated?
Well, if you think if I can go through this 24 hours without closing my eyes, I can live. Okay, so can I sleep with my eyes open so some people can't get to me? Or can I provide enough people around me so people can't get to me? Yeah. None of it works.
Wow.
Everybody could be God, and you've seen it. If you've done any amount of time, you've seen anybody got. And that's a trauma
in itself.
When you're trying to step over a body that has just been assaulted so you can get to the chow hall and get your food before you get locked down.
Wow. That's heavy.
And that becomes day-to-day life, bro. Man, I'm getting my food.
Right.
They're going to lock us down for 18 hours. So, you know, I'm going to get my food and get back to the cell.
Yeah. No, that's real. That's real. What is your thought on being in the hole? Because I don't think we talk about those things. We just know people go to prison. Mm. We see a few things on TV, you know. But let's talk about, we talk about real traumas. Why? Mm. You know, because I've always said that some people, when they come out of prison mentally, we got to work on giving them behavioral health to just get their mind right so that they can get a job. And we have not spoken into what does that look like. So have you seen people that have been thrown into the hole or have experienced that yourself? What is that like, what people talk about that?
But I can tell you more than a dozen times that I had been in the hole, and you can look at all my stuff online and see that I was in maximum or super maximum for a majority of my time. At least a dozen times there were people very, very close to me that committed suicide while we were there.
Wow.
Because the deprivation in some of the holes, it's complete. It's, they'll take your electricity, they'll take everything, you'll just put you in there with a bucket and that's your life. And until somebody comes and, you know, opens the door and counts you, and then, oh, okay, we're still here. We can go on until the next time they come and do that. And that may last for any amount of time, you know, and there's nobody you can call and say, hey, this is unjust or, you know.
Right.
It's difficult, bro, because there are so many things that happen in the hole that nobody ever hears about, nobody ever knows about. Cell extractions, the things where a guy had, it's something happened to him that he needed medical, they refused to get him medical. We all go crazy. We start flooding, we do all of that stuff. At that point, they start doing cell extractions where they take 6-8 guards into each cell and beat you down, cuff you up, drag you down the steps and put you in the hole.
Right.
You know? But that's what we did, bro. And you would go through that for the guy next to you. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter what color it was, bro.
Right.
That's the way everybody got treated in the hole. So we band together in that fight, you would hope. Yeah. You know, that can we all stand up for each other's humanity?
Right.
You know? But that trauma is compounded day after day after day in the hole. When you have to go to your cell, go up to the front of your cell and stick your hands out and get handcuffed behind your back, go to a bunk, kneel on that bunk facing the wall. They will put your tray on that tray. Then you will have to come back and put your hands through the cell. They take the cuffs off. They close it. Then you can go to your tray and eat your food. Wow. Same thing, to turn your stuff back in. To go out to get a shower, they pop the door. They pop the door to the shower. You go. Sometimes it just so happens they'll pop a couple doors that they know those two people don't get along. Mm. And that's entertainment.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what? That's not entertainment, bro. That's compounded trauma. That's inflicting intentionally on people.
So from a doctor's perspective, I've seen individuals that come out of prison still heavily traumatized. So from a clinical perspective, you know, I can speak into that. Talking to just for a few minutes, this is so good. We only got 4 minutes left on the show. But real quickly, can you just talk into from experience, when you come out of prison, what is your thought process? After being exposed to so much incarcerated trauma coming out, what are things that inmates, from a mental and emotional standpoint, what are you guys experiencing?
Sensory overload.
Okay.
Okay. And if you're going back to a place that you left from for any period of time, if you were gone, that whole place is different. The vegetation has grown. I mean, just in that fact, somebody painted their house. I mean, everything looks different. So you are going back to a place that's not home. You know, you no longer get that warm and fuzzy feeling because you're going back to a neighborhood that you don't recognize.
Wow.
You know, you don't have a home left.
Yeah, listen, this is so deep. We're going to do a part two next week. We're not going to rush this. We're going to stay parked. We're going to make this a parking lot because I think this is very, very important that we don't talk enough about when we talk about what our brothers and sisters struggle with being incarcerated. And we want our listeners that's listening to feel validated, that we're talking about the real issues. We're talking about the tough stuff that a lot of people want to see peaches and cream and a lot of roses. But a lot of roses got a lot of thorns. Mm. And we need to be talking about these things. So we're going to be coming back next week to talk about part two on the traumatization of incarceration. What does this look like? Well, how does trauma play how is trauma a factor with people, with defendants and with perpetrators and you could say criminals or inmates or whatever? The struggle is really real. Really quickly, we only got about 2.5 minutes left, but share real quickly about our partnership with Parole and Supervision.
Parole and Supervision is wonderful. We're going to be able to go out there every Tuesday and introduce Fresh Start at the orientation, and I get to speak a little bit of my testimony to the individuals that are being released from that facility and other facilities. But they're also going to allow us to come in, and they have a 30-day program and a 90-day program that allows them to keep people from going back to prison by them going through those programs. They're going to allow us in there to offer resources to those individuals so that their futures may be better hooked up by joining with Fresh Start. They're going to allow us to have clinics there where we are able to offer the same things that we offer at the Fresh Start Expo there, or to prepare people to get ready for the Expo, to give them the information they need to get the things that they need to bring to the Expo. It's what a cool connection we have made. This is one of the missing pieces that we had for Fresh Start.
Yes.
And it's just wonderful. And they are just as encouraged as we are about this relationship, which makes it just incredibly a blessing on all the way around. In the excitement that they had after hearing about Fresh Start, there were staff members coming into the meeting that we were having with the deputy warden and the staff just so they can hear it, because it was something they wanted to hear.
Yes, yes. And it was awesome because when we were there, when we did our elevator speech, we had just such a strong response that got all of their attention. Like, wow, out of everybody that presented, you know, they were really locked onto you. So we just felt really, really excited. So, Tom, we're really excited about this partnership and your work, what you're going to be doing with Fresh Start and the Department of Corrections, Parole Supervision. I think this is super dope, super powerful, and that's what we needed. We needed to impact the pipeline. Speaking of pipelines, I wanted to share with you that not only is we working with Department of Corrections, Parole, and Division, get ready. We have locked down a partnership with the Pima County Juvenile Courts. Oh. And so now we are going to be hosting a Fresh Start in the School to Prison Pipeline Conference in the month of May. So we're going to be working with all of our youth, all of our juveniles, all of our at-risk youth that made some bad choices, got some background issues. We're going to be helping you with that. So keep it locked. More details going to be coming. But the Fresh Start in the School to Prison Pipeline Conference is on the way. Listen, we out of time. Thank you for listening to us. We're coming back with the same topic of the traumatization of incarceration next week, next Saturday. Join us next Saturday at 7:30, and we'll be here where we believe that everyone deserves a fresh start. God bless.